had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. I can relate in the name of Jesus. He was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road. For Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Lord Jesus, I receive that. Anyway, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are speaking life into us today. I pray that you would let my words be few, let your words be powerful. And Lord, let them take root inside of us so that we can have an encounter with Jesus today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. This is the second week of our series called No Longer Lost. No Longer Lost. Now, remember the meaning of the word lost is for our series, okay? Remember that that word lost means to be lost, destroyed, perish, or ruined. That's what that word means. Sort of like that shirt, okay? Moms, you can relate to this. Sort of like that shirt that you washed. You took great care to make sure all stains were out of it. You made sure that it was clean because it's one of your child's favorite shirts. And you made sure it was good to go. You took it and you folded it with care, creased it perfectly so that they would look good and they would look sharp when they get into school wearing it. And you take it and you place it in their room. And all of a sudden, it comes time for them to get dressed for school. And you hear them say, Mom, where's that shirt? What do you mean, where's that shirt? I just redid that shirt. Once it enters the abyss of their room, that bottomless pit where all life goes to die, okay, all of a sudden, they can't find that shirt anywhere. It is lost. It is gone. You open the closet door, you hear something growling at you because they're like feeding things to it in the middle of the day. And all this, some of our ladies, listen, some of you ladies can relate to this as well. Some of your purses. Yeah, some of y'all going, no, don't go there. Some of your purses end up being that bottomless pit. I know a lady one time, she would sit there and search through her purse and try to find, y'all know who it is. Yeah, she would search, you would ask her, do you have a pen or do you have this, do you have that? And she would search through her purse. She pulled things out of there that I've never seen before. I'm sitting there, and she's pulling out. I say, do you have a pen I can borrow? She says, sure. She opens that purse up or that suitcase, whatever you want to call it. And she starts pulling stuff out. Next thing you know, she pulls out a makeup bag. She pulls out her wallet. She pulls out a hammer. You got a hammer? Yeah, I got a hammer. She pulls out a 9mm. And I'm dead serious. She's pulling out guns. She's pulling out tools. She's pulling out all kinds of stuff. You know who you are. You know you're watching. But she's pulling all this. But then she goes, well, I have no idea where it is. I don't know where that pen is. I ain't got it with me. But it's like it has disappeared into the abyss. It is destroyed. It is lost. It is gone. But aren't you glad that God looked at us and said, you're no longer lost? When Adam and Eve sinned, they broke the relationship human beings had with God. Our relationship was no longer the same because there was a mistake made. There was a sin made. That relationship was broken. It was lost. It was destroyed. It was ruined. We became a lost people that because the direct path to our God, our Maker, and our King was completely obliterated by one decision. Now, the main thought that I want you to walk away with of this series is the simple fact that God has provided a new path for you and for me, so we are no longer lost. We are no longer lost. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that a new path was created so that we could have a relationship with our Creator and our King again. We don't have to grope through the darkness trying to find our way. Now, today I want to talk about something very simple, and it's called an encounter with Jesus. An encounter with Jesus. This man Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus. We are no longer lost because God knows exactly who we are and where we are and has provided a way for us to encounter His love, His grace, His mercy, everything through Jesus Christ. He's provided that way. Today, I believe that He is going to do the same for us. See, Zacchaeus in our text, he was one that everyone would consider lost because he was a tax collector. He was a tax collector. Because of the life that he had led, it was like he was no longer serving God. Yet Jesus knew exactly where to be and when to be there so Zacchaeus would have an encounter so that he could change his life. Today, God is going to do the same thing for somebody in this room. Somebody say amen. And we cannot let anything get in the way of that encounter. We can't let anything get in the way of that encounter. So we've got to attack hurdles to our encounter. There were some hurdles to Zacchaeus' encounter. The one thing that could have kept Zacchaeus from having his face-to-face encounter with Jesus if he had let it. This one thing could. In Luke 19:3 said he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. I have to deal with a lot of short jokes in my life. I'm not really, really short, but I'm short for a guy. Okay, let's just admit it. Pastor Trevor stands about 6 inches taller than me. I stand next to my own son, and I feel like a midget. All right? But the thing is, he could have let that keep him from having his encounter with God. There was nothing he could do to help it, nothing he could really do to change it. It's not like he could make himself grow. He couldn't just hang from a tree, tie bricks to his legs, and just hang there all day long and hope that he grew a little bit. That was not going to happen. There's some things that he was struggling with that he could not do. He had to make a choice that he was not going to let the hand that he was dealt in life keep him from the encounter that he was seeking. His stature was standing in his way. His stature. Everybody say his stature. Woo. We're having fun with the lights today. I don't know what's going on. But his stature was standing in his way. Let me ask you a quick question. Is there an area of your life, are there circumstances in your life that has been dealt to you that seems to block your way with your experience with God? Some of the things that we look at and go, well, this is the way I was born, this is the way I was made, this is the way that I struggle, these are things that I deal with. Are there things like that are standing in your way between you and God? The only obstacles that are not removed from our path are the ones that we allow to stay there. I'm going to say that one more time. The only obstacles between you and God are the ones you allow to stay there. Because we have a choice. Zacchaeus had a choice. He could either let that stature keep him from seeing Jesus and experiencing Jesus, or he could do something about it. We talked about it last week or a couple of weeks ago when I talked about crazy faith and someone being crazy enough to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Zacchaeus was crazy enough to say, I'm not going to let the fact that I'm just a wee little man am I. Those of you that remember that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Anybody ever remember doing that? I remember doing that in Sunday school. We do all the motions, the whole kind of thing. And that's one of the ways I remembered all of that. But he could have let the fact that he was a wee little man get in his way and say, well, I tried to get to Jesus, but there was too many big people around me. There was too many tall people like Brother Brad around me that couldn't let me get to it. I love you, Brother Brad. But he could have let all of that get in his way. Can I share something with you? And we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night a little while ago. Until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change, you'll never experience God. Until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change, we will remain exactly where we are in our relationship with God, lost. The world is not going to bow down and clear a path for you to get your experience to God. They're not going to clear the path and say, okay, you want to experience God, you want to experience who He is, you want to encounter Him, well, let us get out of the way. Let us take all the media out of the way. Let us take the politics out of the way. Let us take our ideals out of the way. The world's going to throw everything they can in front of you. Our enemy is going to throw everything he can in front of you and try to discourage us from seeking an encounter with God. Zacchaeus was pushing and shoving and trying to get into the crowd and trying to get to where he saw Jesus, trying to get to where he could spend some time with Him and just get a glimpse of Him. But the people kept pushing him back. And he was too short. I could see him because I've done this at concerts and everything's trying to jump up so you can see what's going on and see what's... Don't be laughing at me too bad. But I can relate to that. Why? Because he was so hungry for something and he was so lost. He had to find a way and he couldn't see it where he was. So he said, I'm not going to let this one little thing get in my way. Some of us need to be so determined that we're going to say, I'm not going to let the fact that my parents were... My dad was an alcoholic, keep me from seeking God. I'm not going to let the fact that someone abused me when I was younger get in the way between me and my Savior, because even though they did wrong, I can still do right. I can still be healed. I can still grow. I can still go forward. It's a choice that we have to make. Can you tell them a little bit excited today? Because I want you to experience, I want you to encounter God. We can either use our circumstances as an excuse or a catalyst. We can either use our circumstances as an excuse or as a catalyst. Zacchaeus was so determined to see this man, that this man named Jesus. Luke 19:4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by that way. He was determined to put himself in a position to have an encounter with Him. How many of us neglect to put ourselves in a position to encounter Jesus because it's been a long day? I don't feel like opening my Bible. It's been a long day. I don't really feel like praying. Listen, I haven't spent a whole lot of time with the family this weekend, so we're going to go off and we're going to go do something together on Sunday instead of going and being in the house of God. Come on. Am I meddling a little bit? Yeah. Because His presence is more important. Where better to spend time together as a family than in the house of God, learning about His love and His grace and His mercy, and learning how you can be a better father, a better mother, a better grandparent, a better son, a better daughter. Are you with me? He was determined to put himself in that position. Let me ask you, how determined are you to experience the presence of God? Are you going to let your circumstances keep you from Him? There was another thing that was trying to keep him from God's presence, or from the presence of Jesus. And it was the stigma that he had. Everybody say stigma. You may be going, what is stigma? It was the air about him, the way people thought about him. You know, some people, they look at us as Pentecostals and they go, well, they're a bunch of snake handlers and they swing from the rafters and they roll on the floor and flop like a fish and all this other kind of... Well, yeah, we do that every now and then. And no, we don't do the snake deal. But if I'm hanging from this, I'm going to be screaming help. I'm going to be honest with you because this is a high ceiling. But there's a stigma on Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. And we don't like tax collectors, right? We don't like tax collectors. He was seen as a traitor. In the Jewish times, he was seen as a traitor to his people. Because what he was doing is he was taking money from the Jews and taking it and giving it to the Roman government. But the Roman government did not regulate the taxes. They had a certain amount that they were supposed to get. But whatever he collected over that amount, he was allowed to keep. That's the reason why tax collectors were hated so much, was because whatever they wanted to take, they could, and they would keep the excess, and they would hurt their own people. The reason was because the tabs, they did not keep tabs on the tax collectors, and they would keep that money, but then also, they were so bad that the tax collectors weren't even allowed to go into the temple. The tax collectors weren't allowed to spend time with God. Why? Because they were considered sinful. They were considered heathens. They were considered wrong. They were considered dirty and unclean. Because they dealt with Gentiles all the time. They dealt with people outside of the Jewish faith all the time. And they allowed people to come into their house all the time that way. And they weren't even allowed to spend time with God. People didn't think they deserved to be there. The people in Luke 19, they thought that he didn't deserve to be with Jesus. So in verse 7, they say this, but the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. What bothers me about that is that every one of them is just as big a sinner as him. But they had the right pedigree. They had the right background. They had the right name. Church, listen to me. Everyone who walks through these doors, including the man standing on this stage, has fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We are all people that have been lost at some time. The only difference between me and somebody who doesn't know Jesus is the fact that I've already discovered him and that I'm no longer lost. He knows where they are. They're not lost to him, but they're lost in their own way. And we need to welcome them in. Amen? Again, don't expect the world to sweep your path clear for an encounter with God. The world will point fingers, just like these people did. They pointed fingers at him and they accused him. The world will point fingers at you. They will bring up your past. They will point out your flaws. We can choose to believe what they say and buy into their view, or we can be like Zacchaeus in verse 8, where he says, where it says, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. He came down out of the tree. And as he's walking, you got to imagine, he's walking with Jesus, and he's excited because he's never been with a teacher like this. He's excited. Y'all see who I'm walking with? Y'all see who I'm with? Y'all see? He's coming to my house, and we're going to have some time to eat. We're going to have some time to spend. I'm going to get to talk to the teacher, y'all. This is awesome. This is great. And the entire time, you got to imagine, he's hearing the people grumbling behind him going, I can't believe he's going to be with this sinner. I can't believe he's going to spend time with this Zacchaeus, this tax collector. And he could have concentrated on that and said, people don't like me. People don't think I deserve him. People don't think I deserve the grace. People don't think I deserve him to come into my home. He could have sat there and he could have gotten down on himself, and he could have started believing him and saying, you know what, I am a sinner. I've made mistakes and I've done wrong things. But it says in this verse right here, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. He didn't care who he stood before as far as men goes. We don't stand before men and are judged. We stand before the God Almighty and the Lord our King. He is the one, his opinion is the only one that should matter to us. His opinion is the only one that has any kind of weight in our life. But he said, listen, Lord, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. He said, I don't care what the people say. I don't care what they say about my past. I don't care about the mistakes I made in the past. Listen, they can talk all they want. I'm in the presence of the teacher. I'm in the presence of the master. I'm in the presence of the commander in chief of the armies of God. And I'm here to spend time with him. They can talk all they want. I am having an encounter with Jesus. Let me ask you something. How many times have we let the world keep us from an encounter with Jesus because we're too worried about what they're saying, about what they're seeing, about what they're doing in our presence? And we're worried about how we'll look in their eyes. We're worried about what they will say about us. Church, listen to me. We can either give in to the stigma or we can change it. He didn't let the way the world viewed him dull his encounter with Jesus. No matter what the world said about him, Jesus called him by his name. And he calls you by yours. He calls him by his name. See, that's where we get to the next part of this, is that Jesus initiates the encounter. You understand that, right? Jesus initiated the encounter with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he climbed up the tree and he saw him. And he was, oh, this is so great. There's the master. He's passing by. And all of a sudden he hears him go, Zacchaeus! Huh? All of a sudden he is called out. Zacchaeus put himself in a position to see Jesus, but the encounter was initiated by Jesus. When we make sure that we are in the right position spiritually, Jesus takes it from there. Are you with me? Y'all looking at me like deer in headlights. Y'all with me here? When we make sure that we are in a position where Jesus is going to be, God is going to take it from there. Jesus will take it from there, and he will encounter our lives, and he will make sure that we have an encounter with him. When we make sure that we're in the right position, he will take over. His love does not let, when it came to Zacchaeus, Jesus' love did not let him pass by. And his love does not let him pass by us. But he makes sure to arrive right where we need him to be. Jesus is already headed towards you. He's headed to where you're at in your situation and in your life. He's headed to your tree. He's headed to the place where you're straining to find him. He's headed to where you're struggling to find where he is. In Luke 19:5, when Jesus came by, that's the New Living Translation. When Jesus came by, I want to go ahead and go to the New King James. I love the way New King James says it. And when Jesus came to the place, when Jesus came to the place, just the wording of that tells me something specific. It tells me that Jesus had a specific place and a time in mind that he wanted to meet with Zacchaeus. And when he came to the place, when the time came, when the opportunity came and showed itself, that's when he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. Whatever situation you're in, whatever the sickness is, whatever the problem is you're struggling with today, Jesus is walking up to your place and at your time, and he's looking up in your tree and he's saying, hey, I know who you are. Because he called Zacchaeus by his name. He knew him by his name, folks. Are y'all with me on this? It wasn't a happenstance meeting. This was an encounter that was destined years ago, that Jesus already had in mind. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Hurry up. Get your tail down here, because we're going to go get some grub. And we're going to go to your house, and we're going to sit, and we're going to have a good time. I know that's the PAV, Pastor Aaron version. All right? But that's essentially what he's telling him. I know who you are. And if he knows, let me tell you this. If he knows who he is, he knows what he does for a living. He knows he's considered unclean. He knows he's considered a sinner. And in those days, it was wrong for a teacher of the law to walk into a sinner's house, because it would make them unclean. But he didn't care. Let me tell you something. He knows your name. He knows your past. He knows your struggles. He knows your situation. He knows everything you're going through. And yet he still says, let me spend some time with you. Because he wants the encounter just as much as you do. Are you with me? How many of you want an encounter with Jesus? He wants us to have that encounter. He knew his name. He knew what he did. And he accepted who he was. He accepted him as is. The one everyone else rejected and called a sinner. And the one that no one wanted to associate with, Jesus called him friend. That's what he does to me. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. That's one of the most important titles I can have. Not pastor, not father, not husband, not even Christian, but a friend of Jesus. He calls us His friend. Jesus thinks so highly of each of us in this room that He calls us by our names. He knows me intimately and completely. My faults, my failures, my flaws are all laid bare before Him. Yet He still is not ashamed to say, "Hey, Aaron, come on down." It's like The Price is Right with Jesus. "Hey, Aaron, come on down, because I got something for you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to bring some joy into your life." Because you notice, once Zacchaeus got with Jesus, his joy was returned. Once he got with Zacchaeus and Jesus, once they got together, there was joy in the house again. He looks at me and he says, "Come on down, Aaron." He knows every shortcoming and every scar that is on your heart today. And he still chooses to initiate an encounter with you. He chose you. Your sin does not scare him, and your past does not make him second guess the love that he has for you. The court of public opinion holds no sway over his judgment or his grace. And when we encounter Jesus, there is bound to be fruit to our encounter. Everybody say fruit. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You got fruit?" If you do, don't need it in here. When you experience God, though, there is a change that happens inside. There's a change inside of us. When we experience God, our world is turned upside down. Amen? Things cannot happen in your life and leave you unchanged. But things can happen in your life and leave you unchanged. But when you encounter someone or experience something of significance, it leaves a lasting impression and a change on your life. I don't know if I've told this story here yet or not, but there was a time where I was just hopping around from job to job, doing different things. I've sold cars. I've done security. I've done all kinds of stuff. I was working at Greystone Classic, a golf tournament. Years ago, talking about many, many moons ago. And I was working security, and I was in charge of guarding a stairwell up to the players' lounge. And there was a rain delay, so I'm standing there, and anybody without a pass, I can't let them up. I'm just standing there by the stairs and all that kind of stuff, and next thing you know, I feel a hand on my shoulder. Now, any of y'all ever follow golf? Anybody know any golf players? Okay, I am the only geek in the room, okay, I understand that. Well, any of y'all remember a guy by the name of Arnold Palmer? I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I turn around, and there's Arnold Palmer. Got his hand on my shoulder, and we strike up a conversation. And he talks to me for like 10 minutes. That was awesome. I was starstruck. I mean, I played golf. I'm horrible at it. I mean, I'll hit the ball, and then I'll knock. If I played at one of those tournaments where the people line the things, I'd knock somebody out. That's just the way it is. But the thing is, this is a big-time player, won a lot of money, very popular, incredible man, and he's got a good heart. And he stood there for about 10, 15 minutes talking to me, and I had a blast, man. It was awesome. But it didn't change my life. That wasn't an encounter. That was a meeting. It didn't change my life. It's not like I left there and went, "Oh man, he touched me on the shoulder. I'm going to be in the PGA. I'm going to win tons of money. I'm going to play golf great, and I'm going to have all these endorsements and these deals." And you can tell that didn't pan out very well. It was a powerful moment in my life, but it didn't cause a change inside of me. But I can tell you right now that 31 years ago, I knelt down at an altar at Bessemer First Assembly in Bessemer, Alabama. I remember sitting in the pew and not even knowing how I got to the altar. I just remember God calling my name, and I couldn't stand to sit where I was. I was a sinner. I was doing things that were horrible. I was following my own way. I was all over the place. I'm not even going to go into all the stuff I was doing, but I was sitting there on the third row because I was sitting where all the youth were sitting, and the altar call was going on, and I was sitting there. And I could not stand anymore. I stood up, and I came up, and it was about right here. And I was standing there, and my pastor, pastor, Michael Sharp, was standing there praying for an older lady in our church, and he leaned over to me and he said, "Do you feel the need to pray for Sister Hazel?" And I and tears. I'm talking about I'm boohooing like a baby. Don't even know why. And I said, "I know. I just need prayer." And he turned around, laid his hand on my shoulder, and I dropped to my knees on that altar, and I prayed, and God met me, and I had an encounter with the Heavenly Father and someone that loves me and cares for me and changed my life. And from that day forward, I have never been the same. I've always been going forward and been moving forward. Have I made mistakes? Yes, but my heart was changed. Come on. I guess I'm more excited about it than y'all are. He changed who I was on the inside. When Arnold Palmer put his hand on my shoulder, it was cool. But when God put his hand on my heart, it changed my world. When you encounter the Heavenly Father, and when you encounter the power that He has, when you encounter the power of His grace and His love, your life is changed. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you." This is who I was. He took my heart of flesh, my heart of stone out, and put a heart of love and compassion and grace and mercy inside of me. He took out my stony heart, my stubborn heart. "I will give you a tender, responsive heart, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." This is what happened to me 31 years ago. Is what happened to Zacchaeus sitting at a dinner table with at an encounter with Jesus. There was an immediate change. Joy and happiness were restored to his life. His heart was overflowing to the point that he vowed to give away half of his fortune and repay anyone he cheated up to four times what he took. And something else that God did for him was that he restored his name and his heritage. His name and his heritage. Everybody say name? Everybody say heritage? When I say that, this is what I mean. Do you realize that one of the meanings of the name of Zacchaeus means pure one? Zacchaeus' own name reminded him of how impure he was. "I'm a tax collector, yet people call me pure one. I'm a sinner, yet people call me dirty. Or people call me pure one because of my name. I'm dirty on the inside. I may be clean on the outside, and I may look like I've got it all together on the outside, but on the inside, I'm messed up." But what Jesus did in that one encounter was he restored his name to pure one. "Because he whose son is set free is free indeed. And his blood washes away every sin. His blood covers every blemish. His blood takes care of anything that would try to dirty us up from his presence." But God changed who he was. He was considered unclean, a traitor to his people, and not even allowed to worship in the temple. But Jesus' presence and acceptance of him, not only who he was, but what he was, restored him and the meaning of his name. Jesus restored his namesake and heritage too. And I'm closing here. Luke 19:9. Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." Let me say that again. This man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Remember, the people wouldn't even let him into the temple to worship. But Jesus is saying, he's a true son. He's a true Jew. He's a true follower. He's a true man of God. With these words, Christ adopted Zacchaeus back into the family. He was no longer on the outside looking in. He no longer had to walk around with the shame of not living up to his name. He was no longer lost in the land of his own people. He was found. he was noticed. And he had an encounter with his Savior. You too can have that encounter today. Jesus understands that there's hurdles to overcome in our lives. There are habits we have to fight and have to break. There are things we trip over and we stumble over. But Jesus also understands that none of them are greater than the love and the grace and the changing power of a Savior that cares more deeply for you than you will ever know. Your past does not dictate what your future is going to be. Where you fall short does not matter to Jesus, because he is already on his way to meet you at your tree. Stand with me today. Jesus understands that there's hurdles to overcome, but Jesus is also calling you by your name today. He's saying to you, let's spend some time together. Let's spend some time loving one another. Let's spend some time with each other. I want to go to your house and be a guest in your heart. He's calling you by name. Those of you watching online, he is calling you by name in your home and in your office, wherever you're watching today. He is calling you by name and saying, you did not come by this program, you did not come by this video by happenstance or by own accident. But I'm speaking to you today, and I'm calling you by name. And Jesus also doesn't care what it looks like when he gets there. I imagine that Zacchaeus probably had some stuff in his house he didn't need to have there. He had some things he had to clean up. He had some things he had to get rid of. But Jesus didn't say, clean your house first and then I'll come in. If I know Jesus' heart, Jesus probably said, let me grab a broom. Let me help you clean up a little bit. And he's doing the same thing with us. Jesus doesn't care what it looks like when he gets there. He wants to sit at your table and give you an encounter that will cause a change in you. An experience with the Almighty that will leave you forever impacted and forever a child of God. One encounter. You know, I think that is what our generation, or the new generation, is missing today. Is a true encounter with Jesus. I'm not talking about a church service. It's awesome that we have some young people here, and it's great that we have some teenagers that come into our building. But until they get a face-to-face encounter, this is just a service. But when they encounter the power and grace and mercy of Jesus, like I did 31 years ago, kneeling on that altar, leaving a wet spot on that altar because of how much God broke me and how much he freed me from. I'm not saying everybody has to have the same encounter, because your encounter may look different than mine. You may not be comfortable coming up and crying in front of everybody. You may not be comfortable coming up and jumping up and down, screaming and shouting. You may not be comfortable laying on the ground. Whatever the way that God speaks to you, let God speak to you. And encounter him. Don't just meet him. Encounter him. I met Arnold Palmer. I encountered Jesus. If you understand me, say I do.